Now, that'll be only the first day. We're going to need four more principles for the other 4 days. And they aren't easy. For the second one, let's take I am not me. That's a very difficult one to make an adjustment to. But that's only your second day. You don't have to do two in one day. Face everything the first day with this world is a dream. Face everything the second day with I am not me. Now let's see what that really means. Christ is not the form that perishes. The form that perishes is me. But I am Christ. The form that is under the law of matter is not me, because I am I. And so on your second day, first your morning meditation, I am not me. And that is what I'm going to walk this earth with today. That's my second day in the wilderness. It's a wilderness because I'm in no personal self. I'm not relying on my senses. I'm not relying on my brain cells. I'm relying on a truth that is beyond my personal senses, my brain cells, my personal identity. I'm relying on a truth outside of all that I have been as a human being. That's why it's a wilderness. I am I, and I am not me. Now, how do I face things? That adaptation, again, is a change from your daily pattern of behavior. I am I, not me. I am permanent being. I am indestructible being. I am the image and likeness of God, which is pure spirit. I am free of all material laws. I'm not talking about me. Me is not, but I am not me. I am free of all material laws. I have no human needs. See how hard it is to change from a human me to I, which has no human needs? And even when you make the declaration, you say, well, what am I going to do next? How am I going to get by? I have no human needs. That's where you find the assistance from this I that you are accepting. I will show you how. I will go before you. I will direct thy paths. I have no human needs. Christ has no human needs. And as long as you have human needs, you're saying, I'm not I, I'm me. And so the crossover, you're picking up your cross. You're crossing over. I am I, and I have no human needs. And because the human doesn't know how to behave that way, I'm going to have some difficulties as I try to do this. That's what divine birth is all about. It's stepping out of what I am not and practicing what I am to the best of my ability. Now, interestingly to me, when I started to do this myself, I encountered many of the problems that anyone would encounter trying to cross over from normal behavior patterns into newly borrowed ones, especially on a conviction that is not yet fully formed. But, for instance, there was one, today I'm living in the kingdom of God. I found the minute I did that, everything about the world was different. I mean, you just knew instantly that because I'm in the kingdom of God, you knew that everything coming at you was a dream. You didn't have to go through the effort to convince yourself. You knew you were in the kingdom, and therefore this problem here, and that blizzard there, and this other problem there. Well, obviously they weren't there, and so you were uncovering the hypnosis of the brain. And so don't mind that some of these principles you practice in your wilderness experience seem strange or foreign or difficult. They are only because the brain is hypnotized. And they will help you dehypnotize from the brain imprisonment. There will be five of them. And it will take care of 5 days, and another talk will have five more to take care of another 5 days. And long before your past 6, 7, 8 days of living in the wilderness, you'll be challenging the wilderness very eagerly. You'll be looking forward to, you'll feel new muscles growing spiritually. Now, this is all part of a necessary program to return to not only a declaration of identity, but a capacity to live independent of the material limitations that the world mind has imposed upon us. Always, as you are practicing these principles, you will discover that new levels of awareness are opening within the realm of your soul. And you can look at things which had hitherto been forbidding, discouraging, maybe despairing, and you can find some assurance within yourself that what you once accepted as real now somehow feels as if it were nothing but an image and thought. Just as the world itself is a series of images and thought, you'll feel that everything within the world has no power over your identity. The false appetites will begin to lose their magnetism, their power to engulf you. The so-called disturbances of the world will begin to appear as nothing more than mental static. You will accept things of a nature that normally would have been critical with a certain degree of equanimity, in the knowledge that I am no longer content to live in the belief that form and I are synonymous. And I am living consciously in the everywhere, not encased within form, not identifying within form, and not identifying anyone else within form. If God is the substance of all form, and form dies, then it cannot be that form that Joel was speaking about. Is that correct? Joe wasn't saying God is a substance of dying form. Joe was saying that God is spirit. And where spirit appears invisibly, form appears visibly. The form is not there, except in mind. The spirit is there, or the essence is there. And so in our third day in the wilderness, take the entire universe of matter and convert it into invisible essence. All of it. You are looking at the essence of God, which appears to you as form. The form is not there. The form perishes. The essence is ever there, even when the form departs. That essence is undivided from itself. You are looking at infinite essence, undivided from itself, always there. You're looking at the one infinite essence of the universe, of the kingdom of God. And so that's your third. You have begun with this world as a dream, but on your very third day, you're into where the dream seems to be only the invisible essence of God is. And so you're into the incorporeal universe, the incorporeal man, the incorporeal God, the incorporeal self of you on your third day. All that I see in form is a mental image about the invisible essence of the universe that I am. Now, when you start with that on your third day, you will see the power of that truth functioning in the very same job, the very same marriage, the very same daily activities that you had the week before without that functioning, and you will notice the difference. The moment you place the essence of God as the substance of all form, you are accepting that the form is not there. The essence is. And so we have this child with cancer, but have we? The essence of God has no cancer. Where is the cancer? It is superimposed by the world mind through brain, where only the essence of God is. And in your realization of that, or your capacity to maintain the awareness of it, you are freeing yourself from a false belief, and freeing either yourself, if that was your problem, or someone else in your consciousness from that belief, if they have come to you for some assistance. You are releasing yourself from all the error that cancer can exist in the essence of God. You wipe it out of your consciousness. Now that's really walking in the wilderness. But that day, there may be many other types of so-called error that are presented to you. And your primary function is to meet all error and all non-error with the knowledge that all that is present is the essence of God, no matter where I go, no matter what form it takes, whether it's a form in error or a form not in error. With that, you are obeying Joel's principle that God is the substance of all form. And you are obeying the Christ principle that the kingdom of God is where the world seems to be. Let's take another principle. Joel said that I is the name of God and the name of the infinite Son of God. And therefore, on your fourth day, Your principle will be, I am the infinite Son of God. If you're going to be true to that, then when the tempter says, do this or do that, your response to the tempter is, why should I? I am the infinite Son of God. Do not tempt the Lord thy God. The tempter says you are running short of funds. The tempter says you're unemployed. The tempter says many things that cause you a state of unrest. What's your answer? On this particular day in the wilderness, your answer is, I am the infinite Son of God. And logical corollary then is, everything of God's is contained within the infinite Son. So although that which appears to be discordant or error or lacking or limited cannot be. It only appears to be. Again, I'm in brain hypnosis. I'm in world mind hypnosis. That little serpent in the garden is trying to sell me a false bill of goods again. And he's very clever at his disguises. He puts them on your body where they are most distressing. He puts them in very important relationships where they are very distressing. They always come where they are most, you are most vulnerable. And so on the fourth day, I am the infinite Son. You face all these distressing reports instantly. With the permanent consciousness for the day that I am the infinite Son. And you may find that some of these things that might have approached you will not have an opportunity to approach. Because you are turning all the tables upside down. You're reversing. You are attacking before being attacked. Instead of waiting for evil to knock at your door, you're removing that consciousness upon which it knocks. You're not living in a mental consciousness. You're living in the consciousness that I am the infinite Son. And to that, in that day, if you were to see evil anywhere, it could not register on you successfully if you adhere to that consciousness that I am the infinite Son. And I'd rather stand here and suffer whatever persecution may come my way, because in standing in my reality, I attain more than meeting persecution with human methods. Stand ye fast. And so that would be your fourth day in the wilderness. I'd like to practice I am the infinite Son in a meditation now, because it should remove from you the belief of division between you and your neighbor. You may not particularly care for your neighbor, but to be the infinite Son, you must be the reality of your neighbor. And so the fence you build between your neighbor and yourself is really a denial of your identity. And again, rather than deny my identity, I can turn the other cheek. I can resist not evil. I can stand in the knowledge that my infinite selfhood is not stopping at the boundaries of my attractive land. It is not even stopping in the boundaries of time or space. I am the infinite Son. Just as before there was Jesus, there was Christ, so before there was this person called me, there was I, and I am that infinite Son now. I must live and be faithful to my identity. I may even have to shake my neighbor's hand I may have to smile at him and bid him good morning. I may have to overlook something I didn't want to overlook yesterday. I may not have to go and over and knock at his door and say, I forgive you, but within my consciousness, I withdraw condemnation. Because the world mind had painted a picture to me of another individual where there is no other individual. The infinite son, the only inhabitant of God's kingdom. I am that only inhabitant. That one I am. That's your fourth day consciousness. And so a gentle word, where there might be wrath, may creep into your behavior that day. A sense of quiet forgiveness for the thief on the cross, for the dictator who is imprisoning those who disagrees with him, for the nation who's about to push a button called a nuclear missile, the quiet and inner forgiveness, knowing that individual is not there. I am. I, the invisible essence of the Father, am there and no other. You are practicing omnipresence as a law of being. And the power of omnipresence realized will be your reward. This is carrying out the injunction to love your neighbor as thyself. But you're doing it in the true way. You're going beneath the surface of form. You're catching the incorporeal nature of the infinite Son of God everywhere. You're not being hypnotized by the brain and the world mind, which works through the brain. This world is a dream. I am not me. All that is within the world is illusion. I am the infinite Son, the infinite essence of God. The essence of God is the essence behind all form. That essence is the essence of my neighbor, but because it is undivided from itself, I am the invisible essence of my neighbor. I am the invisible essence of all those who allegedly were buried in the past. They were not. The essence of God is never buried. It is the essence of all form, either living or dead, as human beings think of it. I am the essence of all who have walked the earth. I am the essence of all who will walk the earth. This is your consciousness. Extend it to its infinite boundlessness. Because in the doing, you bring into activity the power of omnipresence. Now let us see if we can trust one infinite consciousness to be the only. Let's see, how would we understand that in our daily activity? If one consciousness exists, then there is no consciousness that can create that which is unlike God. And no matter what may appear, nothing unlike God can exist there, because only the one consciousness is present. And so you're more or less accepting perfection as the invisible reality of this invisible essence. And no matter what appears, perfection is there, because the one consciousness, which is God, can only exist in a state of perfection. No other consciousness does exist. And so the war, the poverty, the hunger, in your wilderness experience, you cannot accept them. The world can, but you cannot. The world is not striving for rebirth into divinity. You are defending your divinity. That's the whole nature of the wilderness experience. I am defending my divinity against every appearance that declares there is something other than the one divine self. And so on the fifth day, there is only one consciousness. And that is my guarantee that perfection is everywhere, regardless of what appears, whether it's in my body, or in my friend's body, or in my loved one's body, or in some relationship of some kind. We're not accepting the reality of San Salvador, the reality of Poland. We're not accepting the reality of the floods that sweep across the country and the blizzards that peril human life. And you say, well, is that going to save any lives? Unquestionably, it will. If you will rest in the knowledge on your fifth day that only the one divine consciousness is here and there and everywhere, and that is my consciousness, then all that is unlike what divine consciousness expresses, you must then know is not there. That's the knowledge that all disease on the face of the earth is illusion. All evil on the face of the earth is illusion. All error, all pain, all heart attacks, all poisonings, all murders, all crime, you place them all in the category of how can they exist if there's only one divine consciousness, and you are uncovering the nature of the world mind hypnotism, which was the purpose of the appearance of Christ Jesus on this earth. To awaken us to world hypnotism, which begins with the acceptance of a me that isn't, and then a world that is external to the me that isn't, and then of all the evils in that world that isn't. Adam must become Christed. Eve must become Christed. And Adam and Eve can no longer be two. They must return to the oneness that preceded their appearance as Adam and Eve. Duality must go within ourselves. One infinite consciousness, and I am it. Now, those are five difficult days. They will, however, reward you, and it is better to pursue them now than to wait for a day in the distant eons when you may be proclaimed the Son of God, when you can bring that proclamation into your present by accepting the nowness of your being as the infinite Christ of God. Again, I must say, all of this is not intended for those of us who are not committed to walking in the kingdom as the divine son. For those who are not committed to that, will not find the energy, capacity, vision, or stick-to-itiveness to pursue such a seemingly difficult program. But I cannot envision anything less for an individual who is determined to put to an end the days of mortal error in temporary mortal form, or an individual who is determined to pick up his cross and follow the Christ no matter what and no matter where. And so that's our program. And you could pick one of those if you want to, or all five for that matter, and pursue them during the seminar, but there'll be another five in the morning. So I'm suggesting that maybe if you pick one, don't be too concerned about. You could start your 40 days right now. It's up to you. But if you wait for a month or two until you get home and let this all gel, that will be fine. Much of it will rub off right now. And we'll find that without any real effort, we'll have that tortoise, that turtle shell on our consciousness, which repels all these seeming attacks of the world mind, even unknown to ourselves, before they reach us. There will be questions, no doubt, about many things, and this is not a question and answer type seminar, in the sense that some of the things people ask are usually very personal things, and we're more interested now not in personal things, but in how to live the impersonal life, how to walk not as a person, not as a form, not as an individual who was born yesterday and who will die tomorrow, but to walk invisibly, accepting every infinite way principle that you know, and every Bible principle that you know, totally, and being willing to live in that principle rather than the response to something outside the principle, not to seek the expedient, not to judge from the rational mind what is good for you to do, but rather to judge only from the level of, is this divine or is it illusion, and to work from that principle. And so I do invite the questions, but try to make them of a nature that would be important to everyone else, not just a personal question. We can save the personal questions until we get together privately later. And you can place them up here anytime you want. You don't have to sign your name to them. I don't even guarantee to answer them all. But what I would like to do is, before the seminar is over, in the course of the various talks, they will be answered in a less direct fashion than here's a question and here's an answer. But you'll find in the talks, Spirit will answer the questions in its own way. So if you put them up here, when you do, be patient. Write them out. Be patient. Before the 8 classes are gone, you will have found answers. And also, I'd like to say that we will have 3 days of private interviews in which you can include your questions So if you're going to see me privately, you don't have to write them here. And it'll be Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And then this is important. This to me is a special class. I mean, I can't put into words what it means to me. I feel it was one of those classes that was ordained maybe 2,000 years ago. And it had to be. And so I want to stay an extra week. And next week we'll have the private interviews. But the week after that I'll also be here. From Monday through Saturday. I think that's... Well, anyway, it ends about the 23rd, and 6 days prior to that, from the 18th to the 23rd, or roughly that, Monday through Saturday of the following week, and I will be very happy to spend more time with any individual who wants to, you know, go into depth on something, if you're here. And all of this should be arranged through Gloria, so that we'll spend 3 days, and then take a few days rest, and then be back for another full week, and whoever lives in the community or in Florida who cares to will be able to spend that much time and really close all our gaps. Let's finalize tonight again with the awareness of divine love, but in a different way. You had said, and I had said, that divine love is present. But perhaps in the first meditation on divine love, we felt as if divine love was something coming on us, an overwhelming divine love lying on us. Now let's see that divine love is you. The reality of you is divine love. It's not something apart from you that descends upon you. It is you. The infinite Son is divine love. It is a quality which suffuses your entire spiritual selfhood. You are divine love. And whenever you act out of divine love, you are blessing. You are loving. You are forgiving. You are understanding. Whenever you reject your infinite selfhood, you'll find that you are also rejecting divine love, which is a quality of your infinite selfhood, and you will be acting in an unloving way, resentful, angry, unforgiving, judgmental, condemnatory, whatever. And so when you catch yourself acting not in a sense of divine love, you may not know it, but you should catch yourself and know, wait a minute, I'm denying the very self that I am, because myself is divine love. I can't act out of character and be the Christ too. Catch yourself. Accept that divine love is your being. And just because your being is infinite, your divine love is infinite. And so your divine love is expressing in Russia, in San Salvador, in Nicaragua, anywhere. You see, you're not accepting what appears. Turning from the obvious, from the normal, from the natural man, takes more than the human race is capable of at this moment. And every minute of your preparation is playing a part in your capacity to reach beyond your natural reactions. I am divine love. And every time you break a barrier on one truth, you'll find your capacity to break barriers on other truths will follow. I am divine love, and I bless this universe. Because I am divine love, all that appears in the mortal world that is not a product of divine love must be an illusion. Divine love is the fact. The absence of divine love is the lie. Consciousness of God is divine love. All that the Father hath is the consciousness of the Son. Divine love is everywhere, and I, in my fidelity to truth, in my faith that truth is omnipresent, I accept, in spite of every appearance to the contrary, that only divine love is present, and it is I. I am not separated from divine love. The divine love that I am is wherever the world sees that which is unlike God, but not I. All of these are prerequisites to the realization of divinity. We are returning to the Father's house in the knowledge that we have never left. The leaving of the Father's house is pure illusion. It is impossible. That which left the Father's house does not exist. That which dies does not exist. And the great master in his teaching gave us a clear understanding that all human death is merely the absence of the conscious knowledge that I have never left the Father's house. I am the infinite Son, without boundary, without human form. And later, we will place that human form in its proper context. But for the moment, we will catch it as the imitation of myself. All form is imitation. Let divine love now flow wherever you can, unlimited. Let it flow out to the hills. Tomorrow the meditation is at 9:30 a.m. The class begins at 10. And tonight I'll be very happy to meet anyone who has the time to spare and come up and say hello. And thank you for now.